the audio and the chat and also the transcript with everyone. So let's do our official opening. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayokono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayokono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayokono, dispossession, and the honor of connection of the Gayokono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. This land acknowledgement has been reviewed and approved by the traditional Gayokono leadership. Okay. And with that, we can start our conversation. And as I mentioned to the few people who are here exactly at 3:30, maybe I should give it a few more minutes. Hi, Carl, I just saw you come in. So we're just gonna have an informal conversation so people can just put up their hand and give feedback and statements and whatever it is that you want to have as part of this conversation. Who wants to start? Okay, thanks, Carl. Thanks for starting us off.
Actually, I returned to the Faculty Senate for this semester. But what I've been seeing has been pretty transparent to me. I have no objections. So that's what I'm here to say.
Well, I can say that Charlie was seen by many as radically transparent, and I have continued and expanded on that transparency. So I'd like to think that what we're doing is transparent, but you know, there are other points of view and there are things we can do better. And so let's hear from those who think that it's not as radically transparent as they would like. Thank you, Tracy. Go for it.
Hi, Eve. So thanks for organizing these sessions. I think it's a good informal way to get feedback and encourage engagement. So I do think that things are good, but I have been frustrated, like many other senators, at the lack of time given for discussion for important items. I don't want too much Senate control. I don't think that's going to help anything, the Senate having to control everything in relation to the Senate meeting. But I do think that more time should be allotted to some of the more controversial topics. And obviously, you know, looking at this forum, I thought, well, maybe you'd get great participation. I didn't come to the last one, so I don't know. But if these forums aren't cutting it, then either having additional Senate meetings in the middle, even though I don't think any of us want additional Senate meetings, but just having more of a time for discussion. If you call it a Senate meeting, more people are likely to come than a faculty forum, I think. But again, I wasn't there at the beginning. And I do think that the UFC should report to the Senate on their activities and be open to questions and answers. And I think that should be a fairly decent chunk of time so that they can address some of the concerns that multiple senators have brought up on several occasions, because I do feel that the Senate is getting a little disenfranchised with a lot of the things that are happening that seem to be very top down without much attempt at engagement. And when there is engagement, it seems like the decision's already been made and the Senate doesn't have any say in it.
Tracy, can I ask, what are those things that are you think are perceived as top down rather than, I would love to know, like, what are the things out of the, you know, obviously
there's been several things,
but like what
right, so like, historically the College of Business, right? That's one of the things that happened. The part-time degree program, I think, is another thing, and particularly when the Senate feels brushed off by the provost or the president's responses. You know, I think I'm not saying I disagree with the part-time degree program. I think it's good, but I think the faculty have raised several questions and we've kind of been a little, just sidelined a bit. So I just think there could be more of an effort to really listen to what the Senate's saying, or at least come across and at least if it comes across to the Senate that actually, yes, we're talking about it, but you can keep talking forever and nothing will ever happen. So I do understand the administration wants to move forward with some things, but again, open transparency. And I don't think you're responsible for a lack of transparency or Charlie, because as you said, you both made efforts to increase it. But I do think that the administration and their dealings is less than transparent. And I think often we're told at the last minute versus, hey, we're thinking about doing this. Let's really get your feedback before we move ahead. And it just seems to be done deals and the Senate rubber stamping it. And if they don't rubber stamp it, it doesn't really matter because they're going to do it anyway. And I'm not saying that with everything, because I do think the administration does listen and does make some changes to their policies. But I think ongoing feedback and communication is fairly critical. So that's, I do want to give other people a chance to speak, but just one other thing I want to say, I don't think the UFC should come every single meeting, but I do think there should be regular attendance or at least presentation by the UFC. And you can see how frequently that needs to be after that initial assessment where the senators have a chance to ask the UFC questions of things that have been bothering them.
Okay, so thank you. And I'll have a few questions, if you don't mind, just so that I understand. So I can say the last faculty forum was about 40 people, and definitely we heard new things that we hadn't heard in the Senate. So I think the way I was thinking about using faculty forum when I first came in was having a panel and like very formal. And the first one I created fell apart just before I was going to announce it. And so in sort of this new iteration of faculty forum, I love it. So I think this is what I'm going to do going forward, is that something that looks like it needs more space in the faculty senate meeting that happened on the first Wednesday of the month, 2 weeks later, that's the thing that will get an hour to an hour and a half of discussion. And so maybe trying to do more of that. And I think it, you know, one of the things Charlie said to me immediately in taking this position, every other week is just too high of a frequency. People are burnt out, they can't do it. Please go back to monthly. But I think if we make those biweekly experiences voluntary, then those who want to be here will be here. So I'm going to give that a try and see what that does. In terms of the UFC, so the way I've been picturing it is that I was representing the UFC and the discussion in the UFC when I did my announcements. But I think what I'm hearing from you is not me as chair of the UFC, because I guess I have a hat of the dean of faculty, a UFC member. And would it be appropriate, because half the UFC is senators and half are not, would you want to only hear from the senator UFC? Like, what are you picturing for that? And then my other question is, from my point of view, and I'm an outsider to this world, so this is new for me, I see it as, hey, the provost has this proposal that hasn't been enacted yet. I'm going to get this on as many Senate committee hands as I can that seem relevant. And so we went to 4+5 Senate committees, and they all produced reports, and all of those reports were pushed up to the provost. How else could we? I mean, nothing has been implemented. There's not even a dean of the new school. So how else could something like that have had more faculty senate involvement? I think I want to get a picture of what that is so I can help implement that. So two things: UFC coming, not me representing the UFC, who, how, and then if we have that, something like what I saw, oh my God, this is something that's going to have huge faculty sort of implications, let's get this on the committees, and the committees come to the Senate. What else would you want to see? And I'm not, I just want to hear from Tracy because she kind of put those things forward.
So, you know, I think you're doing a lot, even particularly with regard to the part-time degree program, giving it to all committees, including the Committee for Academic Status and Professional Status of the Faculty. I can never say that. It's such a mouthful. So, and forgive my ignorance because I didn't actually realize you were the chair of UFC. So I don't know all the hierarchy of all the committees and everything. And I am ignorant on that, which I probably shouldn't be, but, I think that from what my take on it, and certainly the other senators here attending that could speak up from their perspective, but I think from what I've been hearing is that the senators just want more information about how the UFC establishes the agenda and the items for discussion, and just would maybe like to open more of a dialogue. And I'm fine with you being the representative. I do not have any issues with that.
Just more space.
Just more space. And I think there just needs to be a bit of time dedicated in an upcoming faculty meeting for the UFC to kind of just engage with the entire Senate, not just the senators on the committee. And I certainly voted for a specific senator who I thought would be really good for the UFC this year, because I do feel there needs to be more feedback, just to engage and say, you know, this is how we set the agenda. This is how we operate. Because I think there are these questions that, well, we don't even know how this works. And we'd just like to hear more about it and the nominations committee and things like that. I don't think there should be, micromanaging of what these committees do, because they are comprised mostly of senators. So I have absolutely, I think you're doing a great job personally, and you've definitely been reaching out and trying to engage a lot of committees. I do think that with the part-time degree program, I think there needs to be feedback from the administration to the Senate as to who is comprising the search committee that's searching for the new dean, and who's going to implement it, and who's on that, so that they can look at it and go, okay, we think they're good representatives of this. This is encompassing, but, or at least be able to provide recommendations. Well, you know, these people are great, but we think, did you consider adding these people? They could bring a valuable perspective, because I think hearing more voices, they might hear of people I hadn't even thought of that could bring a lot to such a committee. And particularly for such an important thing going forward, I think it's really important for the Senate and the senators and the rest of the faculty to be more engaged in that and to hear more about it versus, all right, the search committee's done, we've chosen this person, yada, yada, yada. And without that feedback, and I think that's what's been missing, is that kind of, this is what's been happening, we're going to get back to the Senate, and this is what has been happening. That's just my take on it.
And I most definitely will communicate that. And I'm thinking maybe one of our first faculty fora, you know, the first one after we start the semester, could be the UFC. And, you know, everybody gets to say, these are the things on our minds for you to think about this year, and open the year that way with this more open conversation before we have our first Senate meeting. So,
yeah. And, you know, another suggestion, and I am going to shut up, I promise.
No, I invited you to do this, Tracy. So
but not to dominate. But just another suggestion, when you brought that up, I thought of it. And, you know, when I joined EFFIS, the Committee for the Academic Status and Professional Status of the Faculty. See, I can't even say it. I need to have it like written in front of me. But when I joined, I had no idea what they did, really. I mean, someone said, I've nominated you, and I'm like, what do they do? And oh, yeah, da, da. And I think that just introducing to the senators, maybe in a faculty forum, the chair of each of these committees goes, well, this is what I think our charge is. I think that would be really helpful, because it would also allow faculty to know who to go to for some issues, or what committees could be engaged. I mean, nominations committee is pretty obvious, right?
No, I love it, because one of the things that I had to do with a lot of new senators was that. And so it could be an invitation where new senators can come learn we have 13 committees who work really hard. As you know, like, people are doing a lot of hard work that comes to then get formalized in the Senate. And so it'd be nice for people to know, well, these 13 plusers, like 12 plus committees, are working for you, the Senate, and here's that what they do, and here's the UFC. And so I love it. Thank you. Okay, sorry, Carl.
I think Kelly, I have something to ask, but Kelly, I think, has had her, maybe had her hand up.
Okay.
I'll just say quickly, you brought in the discussion to include our feelings about how things that we do in the Senate get handled upstairs. And those are that's my real concern. That's exactly. And I thank very much Tracy for her comments. So when my turn comes, I'll bring up two issues. One is what we did about anti-racism, and the other thing is about the plight of the Uyghurs. So I'll just shut up and let other people talk first. But my deep concern is very much, I don't really have any troubles with how the Senate works, but I do have a lot of trouble with what the administration does with what we do. Thank you. I'll come back when it's my turn.
Okay. Kelly, go for it.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm brand new this year. I feel like I don't understand the operations at all, like a little bit thrown into the fire, some mild version of that. So like for me to have the faculty forum, it feels a lot less intimidating. Like to try to speak up at the Senate meetings is like so confusing about when it's okay to talk, what I'm like, how am I going to be sure it's 2 minutes? Are we discussing this concept or are we discussing this word in the resolution? So it's like very hard to figure out how to participate. And so my observation really isn't about transparency of what's happening at the meetings, but like that I feel like I joined with no understanding about the university fact, like about any of the committees or how it all comes together. So I don't know if I was like supposed to read something ahead of time or whatnot, but that's been my main challenge for the engagement side of things.
I did send something, but I still received that feedback. You are not alone at all. And so I would wonder, like, how would you, now that you can have that perspective still, how would you feel if the first sort of orientation to the Senate is a forum where we talk about this is what this role is. These are what the Senate committees do. Senate meetings are run in this way. Like, would that, and here you would have the space to just speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, what, I don't, like, there wasn't an orientation, right?
No, I gave an orientation packet for you to read, but not, I didn't do a orientation in this form, like where we speak to each other.
Like I got that in an email?
Yeah, our first one, yeah.
Doesn't ring any bells. But yes, I do think that would be helpful.
Okay. David.
So I'm in a different position. I've now been half a dozen years in the Senate. I still have no clue how it actually works. My impression is that the committee structure is completely broken. As I read in the faculty guidebook, it says, for example, the university faculty committee has the responsibility to inform and consult the Senate on a regular and frequent basis. I don't think I've seen that happen in 6 years.
That's me.
I'm on the Nominations and Elections Committee. My term is up at the end of this month. In the 3 years, I don't think I've ever seen a case where anyone has asked us to make nominations for an ad hoc committee. The process of nominating people for the regular committees is completely chaotic and generally involves being given a slate of names about 12 hours before they go live. Last year, we put together a proposal on a committee on admissions, which was supposed to do supervisory. It's supposed to lead at least one discussion in the Faculty Senate each year, providing us with information so that we can make rational decisions about things like SATs. That clearly has not happened. What I see instead is that we get frequent presentations from folks in the central administration, this year in particular, Wendy Wolford showed up, the new council showed up, where they spend 20 or 25 minutes doing happy talk. And then when we ask them substantive questions, they go away. So if you're asking me, how does the Senate make decisions? The short answer is we have whatever information somebody decides that they're willing to offer us. And then we do votes on things where we don't really fully understand what we're voting on.
Okay, so I'll take one at a time. So for the UFC, as I mentioned already, I was assuming as the chair of the UFC that I was representing those conversations, but apparently...
It says inform and consult. That's two directions.
And so maybe it's more that we have to open up the Q&A. I'm totally happy to do that. The nominations and elections, as I understand it, I'm not on that committee in any sort of way. I'm not represented. The ADOF runs that, and they're the chair of that committee. And so the dean of faculty is independent of that. But as I understand it, they do get a slate of names, and they have to go through thousands of names to get hundreds of people to do this voluntary service. So I know they work really hard.
They didn't work very hard.
Yeah. So maybe
was that the other than the initial discussion of give us 1,000 names, the Nomination and Elections Committee has no meetings and has no discussion about the slates.
Nima didn't say that there weren't any meetings, but I can't speak to that.
Year, we had a meeting in December.
CA saying there were three meetings, which is typical, I believe.
I believe there were two this year that I was invited to, one in December. There may have been a second before the new year, which collected names. There was 15 minutes of Zoom where we learned in February that we had nothing to discuss and nothing else.
So I will, you know what I'll do, I will have the new ADUF come to the Senate or have a faculty forum just about this. I mean, I think it's very standard for there to be three meetings over the year. I think that's just how it's always been done, but that doesn't mean that it can't increase in frequency or change in terms of procedures. I think that's wonderful feedback. If you could give it in writing, that would even be better, because then I can use that to speak to the next ADUF about the importance of this committee, because this is a critical committee and it's a committee that's elected in by the full faculty. So any feedback that you have, I will forward that for sure. So please do that. Then the ad hoc committees. So there haven't been any new ad hoc committees. Those were formed by Charlie. But I certainly would go to nominations and elections for any ad hoc committee.
All I can say is 3 years, I've never seen it happen.
Yeah, I'm the new dean of faculty.
Okay.
I would never go and make that assessment myself. I would have the nominations and elections. So 100% guarantee you that. The admissions committee, they actually don't have things to report. So they're still working through things with enrollment, but you know, they do have an opportunity. I can have them come to the Senate on the 18th and discuss. Alan would be happy as the chair to come. I had actually on the slate for the last faculty meeting for our Senate committees, a few of them to give reports, but I think we have more important things to do. So I'm going to just make those reports available to the senators to read. I want us to have more space on the 18th. So I think have it more protected next year, because I do think it's important. I have had committee, I don't think Charlie did this, but I have had the chairs of Senate committees come. They came in September, some came in November, some. I've had different committees come to the Senate, but I'm happy to do more of that. And my picture when I first started the position was to have at least half of them come to the Senate in the final Senate meeting, but we just have too much work to do that we won't do that this year, but I will try to give more space to that next year moving forward. And if you really do want the admission, I can share the annual report that the admissions committee makes with everybody, or I can have them come to the Senate But I do know that their discussions are still open-ended. Oh, and what acronyms? Oh, so yes, there are a lot of acronyms. Have I done that faux pas? Sorry.
So ADOF, I have no idea what that stands
for. Oh, the Associate Dean of Faculty.
I thought it was Assistant Associate DOF. I finally figured out Dean of Faculty.
No, you are. I hate when others do it to me, so my apologies for that. Yes.
If I may shove myself back in, the last question was, my impression was we have an unusual amount of time which gets used up by administrators doing happy talk.
So yes. I have done a time audit. Their happy talk is less than our Senate talk. So I actually did an audit. And so it might feel like they are having more space than us.
When confronted with real questions, they run away.
That might be true, but I can't control that. So I give them our feedback. And I would say, for example, with the honors and distinctions, what comes back to the Senate, that you guys are, that's pending and has changed. So they have heard us. So I can't, yes, we have had more space than them in terms of time, but I agree that they haven't really been as movable. Some have, some haven't. So I would say things that have moved would be an example of the honors and distinctions has moved tremendously from where it started. I think the provost, you know, in having to send his faux pas correction, heard us again, like, that's not sufficient. And so he's like, oh, you know, here, let me have this other chance at that letter. So I can't control how they respond to our questions, but I can make sure that they hear us. And so, you know, and I can make more space, and I will make more space next year for the senators. And between, I think, having these faculty fora and more space on the agenda, I think that we'll be able to at least articulate our point of view. Risa.
Yeah, thanks, Eve. I would like to talk, but I saw that Mary Jo had put a really important comment in the chat, so I'm happy to move my space until after hers, because I think it's directly relevant to what we're talking about.
Oh, so yes, with the faculty fora, everything.
Well, I think Mary Jo has her hand up, so I was hoping to perhaps let her talk first.
Okay, Mary Jo, is this?
Thanks. I had a question. We had a really interesting faculty forum where we discussed the various perspectives about the part-time bachelor's degree for non-traditional students. And I think what was super interesting about that was that we had the engagement of groups that interact on a daily basis with the proposed beneficiaries of the program. And that was useful because I think that, and you will remember hopefully, that there were different perspectives on that. Yes. You know, the way the proposal was originally articulated, it seemed to be geared for this subset of people, broad subset of people, Native Americans, incarcerated individuals, farm workers. But the proposal was articulated without any discussion of those of us who interact with these populations on a daily basis. And so the forum was interesting because we got to present that and talk about it. But what was unclear to me and is still a little bit unclear to me is how that discussion comes back into the Faculty Senate follow-up conversation other than, you know, proposed amendments, which are really a reduction of points made in that discussion. I think for increased transparency, it would be nice to have, you know, more of those perspectives brought into the larger meeting, because otherwise it's kind of, where did this proposal come from? It didn't come from the proposed beneficiaries, right? Somebody is cooking up a plan, not really talking about, with the proposed beneficiaries or maybe some subset of the proposed beneficiaries. And then the Senate votes on it, moves on it, blah, blah. And I think it's really critical that if we can't include that piece in the discussion, then it might really influence how people understand this proposal. And so I didn't see how that feeds back in. And so I'm wondering if you could clarify that.
Yes, of course. So we sent all of the audio and chat to the provost office, to Lisa Nishi and Avery August as the people who created the proposal. All the senators received the audio and chat. So all of that, and it's publicly posted. Then the UFC communicated everything to the provost that they heard in the faculty forum. And then the UFC created a resolution that said, we believe in principle in this idea, but we need faculty involvement. We need all of these things articulated and brought back to the Senate. So that resolution then had two meetings thus far, and we'll have a third, two meetings where we discussed one potential amendment of the language of that resolution. And then another on the next meeting, we revised it. And then there was an additional amendment that was put forward, and that was then voted on. And so we now have a resolution that states that in principle, this is a good idea, but please, more faculty involvement, come back to the Senate, tell us how you've solved these problems. So that is where this is sitting. There is no program, and there is no, at the moment, there isn't a dean of the School of Continuing Ed. And so faculty are on that committee, which they weren't initially, but now we do have that. We have Senate representation. And so it hasn't gone anywhere since then, but at least the Senate has articulated between the Senate committees, the faculty forum, all of that feedback has been given to the provost. And then the UFC then articulated that and formalized that in a resolution, and the Senate, as of, I think today, is that when voting ends later today, will vote on that resolution. So, and Mary Jo, I mean, one of the things that was so important about that forum is that your voice was there. You know, and the people who work with Indigenous communities, that voice was there. And so that was clear that was a new voice that was not in the Senate meetings.
And so it raises the big question of how these things are even developed without interacting or discussing or with those of us who are at Cornell who do this work every day.
Yes, and so that has been a request, or I can't say a demand, but we have advised the provost that he should do such moving forward.
Thank you.
Of course. Okay, Risa.
Yeah, thanks. I have a few points. One is with regard to the point that Tracy raised at the beginning and other people have raised, which is the need for more time at the Senate meetings. We've never had a real full discussion, for example, of the part-time program that was proposed, that's been proposed. We've had sort of dots of time where we've never really been able to have the kind of full discussion that we started to have in the Senate, in the forum, but it's not part of the Senate discussion and debate. And I think that we really need to figure out how to expand those time allotments for really important issues. One thought might be having 2-hour meetings. Rather than trying to have too many meetings, perhaps extending it to 2 hours would be something to consider. Because I think that there is certainly a sense of frustration that we don't have enough time to have these discussions. So that's one perhaps easy way to expand some of the time. Because the forums, I like having forums. I like having discussions. But they're not Senate debates. And I think that we need to have real Senate debates about the issues. The other thing that I wanted to, I just wanted to put out my stuff there so that I can, finish with all of that, is about, I think really the questions are not only about transparency and getting more information, which many people have addressed, but also the effectiveness of governance, which I think David was talking about, and other people have been talking about, Carl as well, the top-down kind of approach. How can we be more effective in when the Faculty Senate does speak, when we do adopt resolutions, for example, how can we be more effective in following up? Because I think that we adopt resolutions, but oftentimes we don't really hear about them again. They just sort of go into the ether. And that's challenging. And I think that using the Senate committees is a good idea. I agree with you on that to follow up. But I think there are other ways we can do it. And one I want to suggest is think about building alliances more between the Faculty Senate and other governance bodies on campus. And I think that that then enables us to all speak with a louder voice. The other thing on alliances that I want to mention is about the Cornell AAUP chapter, where we have an example of really, I think, effective faculty governance when the AAUP chapter endorsed a stronger academic freedom statement for Cornell, which was based on AAUP policies. Now, just in terms of acronyms, for those who don't know, it's the American Association of University Professors, which was founded originally nationally in 1915. And actually Cornell was one of its first chapters at that time. But the AAUP chapter at Cornell was really instrumental in working with the Senate and with the administration to have the Senate vote for that stronger academic freedom statement based on AAUP principles, which ultimately was approved by the Board of Trustees. And so I think it's an example of what we can do when we stand together, because we stand for the same principles of academic freedom, strong faculty governance, and job security for all faculty. And that's what I'd like to see us do more, because attempts to divide us only undermine our ability to achieve the sorts of goals that we share. And I've been unhappy at seeing some attempts to divide us when it should be just the opposite. When we work together, I believe we're stronger.
So I can say that academic freedom work that happened last year in the Senate, I thought was beautiful. And I agree, it was clear that it was a collaboration with council, the Senate, and a Senate committee and the AUP. So I did think that was really brilliant. And so I agree that I think it is an important thing about building alliances. And I see that there are natural places with the university assembly and the student assembly. I'm not sure for this one, with the employee assembly, but definitely the other two, where some of these academic policies that we're bringing forward with the honors and distinctions, now that it's been revised, we'll see how the Senate responds. But the students have come up to me saying they're really, I had a few of them yesterday at the UA, say that they're really happy with how it's been revised. They had this reflexive like, this is going to be terrible. And now they saw the data. They looked like, even in the UA meeting, they were looking at the data and coming over to me saying, wow, this is actually really cool. I think we're going to take it up ourselves. When Ashley said, you know, I have this concern, it's like, Ashley, here are the Senate committees that you should speak to. Here are the senators that you might want to speak to. Work together on a resolution. Then we'll go shop it across the assemblies. So I think that's another example of something that we're speaking with a unified voice. So I do think that there are spaces for building alliances, and I've seen it in action for what you did last year, but it was very beautiful. So I'm happy to try to work on that more time. We spent between just inside the Senate itself, I think there's at least 30 to 40 minutes, and maybe that's not enough, on the part-time BA. Then we also had an hour and a half faculty forum. So, you know, I think part of what I hear is that the faculty forum conversation didn't feel satisfying, but I think that's the space for debate. I think that would be wonderful for the debate to continue. So we had 30 plus minutes in the Senate meeting itself to discuss that resolution. And then we had an hour and a half, and I just feel like that's pretty good for a semester. So I hear you, but then what would it look like, I guess, is what I'm not understanding. I thought I was being responsive, by bringing it back to a Senate meeting, bringing it to a faculty forum, bringing in new voices, taking all of that feedback and giving it to the provost, having a resolution come from the UFC to formalize these conversations. Like, what else would you have wanted to see, I think, is what I'm missing. Because it's obviously, I think I'm being responsive, but maybe not responsive enough.
Well, Eva, if this isn't directed specifically to you, I think that the point is that we're talking about this for the UFC and the Dean of Faculty together. You know, it's really not directed to what should you have done, Eve, but what should we think about doing more broadly, including with the UFC?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I don't know where exactly your time stuff comes from, but at least part of that with the university administrations.
No, that was us, just us alone. I separated the presentation.
Okay, but it's more of the little dabs of 5 minutes on the agenda, 5 minutes on the agenda. What we really need to do, I think, is to carve out a significant amount of time to really delve into a full discussion rather than like beep, 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 beep.
You know? So rather than, because I think it was 15 to 20 and then another 15, across two meetings, you're saying, let's have the full half hour.
Let's really do a discussion and debate. And the points that Mary Jo raised and I've raised, which is the forum is great to have forums, but it's not Senate debate. And so if the senators are going to vote on something, it should be a Senate debate. And that, I think, is what a number of people have raised, you know, Tracy's raised, Mary Jo raised, I raised, about having a full discussion. And I know there's always frustration about the things we want to cover on agendas with time, but we really need to do that for important programs.
Yeah, so I think what I'm hearing is it's better to have the full half hour than two 15-minute bouts or something like that plus. Okay. And then I think, I think I've answered. Okay, Richard.
Yeah, thank you, Eve. Just note that, you know, this forum is on the resolution involving the transparency of faculty senate proceedings. And the University Faculty Committee is an important part of that. There are two of the 9 members here. It seems to me that it would be better if we're going to have a full discussion and so forth, that it be in the full Faculty Senate, where hopefully more members of the UFC would come and be able to speak to it. Some of the specifics I think we need to review. Agenda setting is really, really important in any legislative body. The resolution that this forum is discussing was originally submitted at the beginning of the academic year. It only now is coming to the Faculty Senate for deliberations. At the very least, in the transparency of UFC, University Faculty Committee proceedings, there should have been an explanation, a real explanation about why and how that didn't happen. We also had last semester a discussion about the chat. We finally were able to restore the chat through a vote, but it was impossible to get the University Faculty Committee to report that resolution. It had to be done through a point of order. More than a year ago now, the university, Cornell University, embarked on the planning and expansion and now the realization of the Global Hubs Initiative. That's been going on for over a year. We have never in the Faculty Senate been given a chance to vote on this initiative. When David says, you know, Wendy Wolford comes and talks to us and gives us a show and tell along with other people. It's just a show and tell. That is not consultation with the Faculty Senate. We've passed repeatedly resolutions asking that the Faculty Senate be consulted on this program, and it's been, nothing has happened. These are major issues. The Global Hub system, for example, involves real questions about the application of the Statement of Academic Freedom to Cornell programs abroad. We've individually tried to get information and a statement, a formal commitment of some sort from the central administration, and this has always been denied, sidestepped, ignored. There are real questions. These aren't questions of detail or minutia. These are real questions that go to the heart of Cornell University as an academic mission, as a intellectual community, the very bones and fibers of what we should be as an intellectual community, and we can't get at it. Transparency is one thing. I mean, the transparency resolution doesn't demand or force anybody to do anything. It just says, explain to us why you are not. And that, I think, is a really important point. Observation, I've served on the University Assembly now for 3 years. The last year, I was the Vice President for Operations. As Vice President for Operations and the Executive Committee of the University Assembly, I could watch and compare the procedures under which the Student Assembly, the Employee and Professional, the Employee Assembly, the Professional and Graduate Student Assemblies, the way they operate. They are much more transparent. The agenda is open. There is a provision, for example, in the University Assembly for new business at the very beginning of every session in which new issues can be brought up and discussed. There's nothing like that. In fact, our agenda is really, really weird sometimes. Supposedly, sometime on Friday before the meeting on Wednesday, there will be an agenda that will be informed about and told about. That's not very much time to devise, okay, yeah, let's do this, but let's have this response, an amendment or a resolution or something. But it's even worse than that. The agenda sometimes changes the day before. Sometimes I've seen it happen in the past year, never even the day of. Oh, never. Yes. No, it did. When Martha Pollack last semester came in, she was a last minute addition to the,
I am going to tell you that whatever comes out on Friday is the agenda. The presenter may change, or I add a good of the order, but the content does not change.
This is a matter of fact. The content does change. But it's the lack of transparency, the lack of ability to somehow adjust. Illustrate it this way. We have 2 out of the 9 members of the UFC in this faculty forum. If they don't know how faculty see or don't see, don't understand, realize, interpret what they're doing, there's no hope for reform. We'll have to keep track about how, whether or not they even attend faculty senate meetings. I haven't done that, but I'd be really interested to see what attendance looks like, whether or not they're just completely separate from and largely uninformed as to what the what senators as a body have as concerns. These things have gone on for a long time. And I do think the agenda setting, the explanations for it, I do think that when faculty senators submit a resolution, it should not be delayed for 8 months or 5 months. The one on that was adopted in December was also delayed or denied altogether, as in the case of the chat resolution. These resolutions sponsored by faculty senators are the right of senators to bring before the body. And this has been denied.
Okay, so let's start one at a time. So the UFC, half of them are senators, half are not senators. And I send all audio, chat, everything to the UFC so they see it. Obviously, it's publicly posted as well. And so this is a voluntary space. So there's no mandatory attendance, but only four of our UFC members are senators. And so there's no expectation that the other four have to come to the Senate, but they get all of the information and they listen to the audio. So I know that for a fact and go through. And they also receive the Senate summaries that I send. So that's one thing. I have made it a mission to get that agenda out on Fridays, because I remember in the summer, I met with the executive committee of the AAUP, and this was one of your things. And I was like, that is something I can do. What I can't do is maybe 9 a.m. because there's a lot to coordinate between the UFC meeting, making sure people's schedules, there's a lot of calendar scheduling and all of this stuff that has to happen to make that possible from Friday to Wednesday. But if there was something that you saw on the agenda that you wanted to respond to and you don't have the time to do it by Wednesday, there's the next month and we're going to also have Fora. And so there's still time. In terms of the resolution that was sent to me before I ever had my first Senate meeting, that resolution. So Richard, of the 6+ resolutions that you've brought forward, all but one has come to the Senate, as far as I know. And this is the one. And the reason it didn't come to the Senate immediately, but is being discussed by us today and has been discussed in a Senate meeting already, it was supposed to be two. The reason is because there were red flags for me as a new person to the Senate. And there was new counsel at the university. She started in August, I believe. And this came to me before she, or just after she started or something. And the red flags, and these are things that, let's make clear, first of all, the resolution that was given to me in the fall that caused my red flags is not the resolution in front of everyone today. That one, the things that cause red flags are all actually removed. So that fall semester red flags, every single one of those red flags have been removed. But there are some additional ones that I do think would handcuff me and also handcuff any future dean of faculty. I think there are aspirations that we can work towards and I can try to integrate those things, but to have them in writing and have them as a resolution, I think is a very difficult thing for whomever is going to be the dean of faculty. You know, I don't want to handcuff anybody else. And those red flags were things like making the university faculty open to the public. That's just not in the bylaws. It's in an authority that was delegated to the UFC to set the agenda. And so making them public was a red flag and something concerning, and it's in fact been removed. Having the agenda approved by the Faculty Senate the meeting before, again, is not tenable. It's been removed. So they're just, I want to make very clear that what was presented to me as a new dean of faculty before I've ever had a Senate meeting is not the resolution in front of us today. And even the resolution in front of us today, I do find it very problematic. And I do think that it would make the job of whomever is in this position more difficult. I think it would be handcuffing. The global cuts. I'm going to go down the list and then of course we'll have a conversation. So I have sent every single one of your resolutions. We have actually approved a resolution about the global hubs that you wrote. It's Resolution 179, consultation with the Faculty Senate with respect to global hubs. So the one resolution that I received has been approved, and it was approved by the Senate, and it's been communicated to both the VP of International Affairs and the Provost. And I guess I'll leave it at that. But I will say the reason why I removed the chat, and this is something that people didn't, that Jill did not share with people. She had to do a lot of editing of nastiness. And there was a lot of back talk that was happening between senators in the chat. And I thought, that's terrible. It's toxic. Let's shine light on this. Let's make it that there's no chat and people attend whomever's speaking on the floor. Let's make this as if we're all in person again. So that was my goal. And I didn't want to bring the chat back at all. Clearly, it was very clear. I communicated that I felt that this isn't a healthy space for senators. And so I made it that, okay, well, if we're going to have a chat, let's make it that it's public to everyone and we post it as is, never editing. And so that's what we've done. I think that's full transparency and trying our best. Bye, Tracy. Trying our best to make it as transparent as possible. So yes, I did resist the chat. I was the one who asked the UFC not to bring it forward because I felt like that codified in some way the toxicity that was being seen. And we don't want that. We want this to be a healthy, constructive space where people listen to each other. And it wasn't that. People were typing on one topic while somebody else was speaking about another. And so to minimize that, I felt like, well, one way to recreate the public experience of us all being in person is not to have the chat, but we have a compromise. And so I'm willing to keep that compromise and for us to continue to have a public engagement. So that's all I would share.
Thank you, Eve. The resolution that was, the original resolution that was revised, that was the one that was before the UFC for 8 months or whatever. And the vice president, when she finally delivered an opinion on that resolution, it was the original resolution. And there wasn't an opinion. It was like seven words. It was obvious that nothing had happened in the office of the Cornell legal counsel. Nothing had happened with that resolution.
I think that
it was changed, okay, it is irrelevant. The delay was on the original resolution for which there was never a legal opinion issued. The second thing is the resolution.
Well, I'm going to disagree on that. Your resolution was revised.
You're interrupting me, Eve.
I just wanted to correct something that your resolution was corrected after Donica, Vice President, came to the Senate and said the delegated authority of the Dean of Faculty and the UFC are embedded into the bylaws.
No, what she said.
The timing of it.
What she said, more accurately, is she said the authority that she had to review the resolution was in, I think, section 2 of the whatever the acronym is. And I asked her in the meeting, I said, is the university council referred to in that section, which is a half page long? And she did not know. The problem here is that the whole referral to the legal counsel looks like a charade. It looks like an excuse not to bring this forward. 8 months for a legal opinion? Now, this does not make any sense.
Well, can I answer that? Maybe we'll do one at a time now. So I would say it's my fault because I gave her the grace and space because we were dealing with COVID and then we had the Delta variant, we had the Omicron variant. And so I did not pursue this until the Omicron variant had gone down. And I said, can you come to the Senate and can you address this? And she did. And that is why it sat with her. I gave it to her because I saw red flags. I knew that she had to learn the Cornell bylaws. And then I was like, We're dealing with Delta. We're dealing with Omicron. Clearly, she is not able to look at this. And so when I felt like she could, I asked her to do so, and she came to the Senate.
Look, Eve, I understand that we're all human and we make mistakes and we have things and considerations that we think are important and other people do not see it the same way. This resolution, as all resolutions are the rights of senators in the faculty senate. They are not susceptible to personal interpretation, delay, to all of these other things. So we all make mistakes, and we can all be forgiven for those mistakes. But these are rights. They're not something where you say, well, I didn't feel good this day, and so it doesn't happen.
So
there are global hubs. Yes, we passed the resolution. It said that until the Cornell administration comes before the faculty senate for discussion and a vote, the further elaboration and construction of these hubs should be stopped. Yes, we passed that. As far as I know, nothing, this is David's point, nothing has happened. The problem here is that clearly the central administration wants to proceed with the Global Hubs program. They want to ignore, set aside, have us not debate or deliberate upon some of the problematic aspects of this program. There's no doubt about what the forces are that are preventing this is the resolution coming before the faculty senate. What we need through the resolution is to have explanations coming forward for the delay, the failure to report.
There's no outstanding Global Hubs resolution that hasn't come to the Senate.
No, of course not. Yeah.
We've already given our advice.
No, we have not given our consent to the program. It should be the task of the university faculty committee to make certain that new academic programs be approved, deliberated, discussed in the faculty senate before they proceed. That should be the task of the UFC. It isn't an option.
I can say that one of our senate committees is present in the discussion with the VPIA. The Vice Provost of International Affairs. So the chair of CAP is part of those conversations. We passed the resolution. We approved it. I brought it to the Senate. It was approved. I communicated it. And we have our Senate committee is present in those discussions. But I wanted to say the other thing before, and then I'm going to go to Carl and then Risa, and then we'll, because we are over time. I want to say that me giving the new vice president grace to deal with COVID outbreaks on the semester, when there's something that's truly internal politics, I think that that was the appropriate choice. And I will own that. I will not put that on the UFC. That's 100% me. But let's note that when I finally did bring it and council came, you revised it. I brought it immediately to the next faculty senate meeting. So I just want to clear the record on that. And then Global Hubs, we have passed the resolution. We have passed all of our feedback to the VPIA. She has put the chair of our Senate committee on her international council. So yes, there can be more, and I will continue those conversations, but we have been putting our voice forward in front of them. And so I'm going to move to Carl and then Risa, and then that will be it, I think.
Thanks very much. I could not agree more with Richard in this point. And I just want to go back to this. At the end of the a year ago, we worked very, very hard on this question that came up about the hotel school and the peaking thing. We bent over backwards. Charlie bent over backwards to do something. And at the end, we felt it was a victory that it got tabled, okay? Then the administration went off and took it before the trustees and approved. When I saw President Pollack at the graduation, it was a poignant moment because we were having graduations again, but I just told her, just think about China. And I noticed that they did do, so we were sucker punched. That's as far as I'm concerned, that was a complete sucker punch.
And those are the two pending, so there were two.
No, that was 160. 160 was the resolution that I just can't tell you how disappointed I was, because I felt so strongly about how much, how well the administration had delivered on COVID, had kept up staff employment, but this was just a kick in the face. And so I just leave it at that, because I noticed one thing, though, that President Pollack had written in response to the student assembly's response. She wrote back to them and said, we will not accept this this resolution that you passed. Now, I was just checking to see, and I think Allison had made this point, that the administration has to respond to these resolutions at the very least as a courtesy and say, as they did with the student assembly, we are ignoring you, and then you can use that. It's just like right now, as we're talking, the Senate has voted on abortion. Okay, we'll see where people stand. But I think Richard's point is extremely well taken, and I think what we have to do is get the administration to respond in writing.
So Carl, she did, and it's been shared with the Senate,
Well, wait a minute. So I went back to look at the actions of the Senate. It has to be right there where anybody can go back and find it. I mean,
but that's typically what we do, and we can double check. And if not,
okay, but I was, while we were talking, I was looking on the Senate website. I cannot find it.
So that's what we've been doing, is where in the Senate meeting where the resolution was approved, we put the letter in response.
Okay, then I couldn't find it. I apologize.
But I will verify that, because that is been our action every single time is posted publicly.
And the other thing is, you know, it's the expression happy talk is well spaced, because when President Pollack was just talking to us just now, she listed these priorities. And what amazed me in retrospect is she mentioned the Anti-Racism Center. That was the no-brainer we could all agree on, just to have the Anti-Racism Center. That was the thing. But the thing that, and I have to tell you, I went in our department, we had lots of discussion about the question of student training on anti-racism, faculty training. We were just, you know, tearing our hearts out, and this also exposing ourselves to each other. Well, this is all supposed to be implemented starting in the fall. And she didn't, the only thing she mentioned was the no-brainer. She said nothing about this other stuff. And again, I looking back on it, that's another little, you know, it's easy to say here because you're all receptive, but it was another little kick in the face, because we look at how many you could just see. And Risa and Richard had really worked very hard at this thing. So I think this issue, and again, I can't, thank you. I'll be a better senator if I can find the responses readily, but I couldn't. and I thought I was pretty good at this.
Yeah. So you can see Jill's frown because it's been an effort to do so. So we'll make sure that's the
yeah. But I have to get retrained. But I'll be back if it isn't there, because that's my job.
No, don't worry about it. I have it highlighted right here, but we have been posting them publicly. I will say also that, you know, the Office of Faculty Development and Diversity has been handed the faculty education piece. So maybe there's space on the 18th for them to come back to us. That would be, you can do that.
Wow.
So I will do that. I will ask if somebody from that office can come and represent the work that's been happening. Thanks. And I know that in each college is overseeing their own student education piece. So all of those things I know are moving forward, but they're not executed yet. And so there is, I agree, the implementation has been very slow.
The fall will be here one way or another.
The second fall.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will ask OFDD. But you had two other things on initially. I wrote it down. Let's see.
One was the Uyghurs.
Yeah, the Uyghurs.
The Uyghurs and, sorry. Anti-racism. Okay, so one of them.
Yeah, that was it.
And so
we got outmaneuvered on the Uyghurs. I mean, that was but we got sucker punched, and I don't like that. I don't like being sucker punched. Okay, so
thank you, Riza. And then this will be sort of the last thing.
Great, thank you, and thanks to everybody for staying later. So following up on some of these last comments about implementation, two quick points. One is the UFC reporting to the Senate, in addition to you, Eve, as dean of faculty, I think would be really important for providing information that includes information about what the UFC hears from the provost and the president. I was on the UFC for many years. There was a lot of information. When we could get it out of them, we would sometimes get information from the provost in particular when ideas were being floated before they came to us as a proposal.
So that is actually what I've been doing, but I hear you. I will have somebody else represent.
Right. But what my point is that it's not about, again, it's the UFC and you as a whole, mm-hmm. but the UFC itself plays a very important function. So for example, I would like to hear from the UFC about what are the conversations that you have with the provost and the president. I am well aware from having been on the UFC that the provost and the president will oftentimes try to impose confidentiality on those bodies and say, well, we'll tell you this, but you can't tell anybody else. I think that is a broad problem throughout the university. I think we need to push back on that. And one way is to have these regular reports so that we get into the habit of sharing information and moving away, particularly in a university where it's all about openness, moving away from this kind of habit of things being called confidential simply because the administration doesn't want the information to be shared.
And I can say
confidentiality.
I have been trying to do that. And I'm saying I, meaning the UFC, has been trying to do that through what I bring to the Senate. And so I have been very open with our conversation, what we've been discussing with the provost. So
yeah, I don't know what you've been discussing with the provost. All I know is that I don't think we get sufficient information. Having been on the UFC, my sense is that there are probably more things that could be shared. And so what I would recommend to you and the UFC is to look for those items to say what can be shared. And Eve, you and I and the rest of the executive committee on the AUP, it was an early meeting we had. I think you had mentioned something about publishing minutes from the UFC meetings, and I think that would be very, very useful, and I hope that will happen, because then we can also know what to ask about as well in that way. But so that's an issue of getting things early as well, getting that information early. The other thing I want to just highlight that people have been talking about is, and that I raise, is that issue of implementation. It is not sufficient for faculty governance to work well for us to adopt resolutions, have them go to the administration, and then the administration answers and says, it's done now, because then we'll just go away. The point is that we put into place these mechanisms of governance so that we can follow up. What is the UFC doing to enforce and implement our recommendations about global hubs? Global hubs recommendation had much more than just putting somebody on that committee. It also was a resolution about the order of the process. Mm-hmm. Accommodations issues, which we had multiple votes on with regard to resolutions, including accommodations regarding COVID, but it was more generally, one of the resolutions was setting up a working group so that we can have more transparent and fair accommodations processes in the universities, which we heard from students and faculty and staff were opaque confusing, and unsatisfactory. Whatever happened to that? Nothing. And so it's the UFC and the Dean of Faculty's office that should be at the lead of saying, how do we enforce these? How do we push back? And how do we report to the Senate about what we're doing? And so that's the kind of activism that I think would also lift morale of people to know that our faculty governance process is not just letting things go, but that we continue to push for strong, effective governance.
Thank you, Risa, for that. And I will say, Carl, for sure, every resolution that's been passed this year, you will see the president or the provost response right there. So I can't say what happened in 160 last year, but I can say for this academic year, that's been a fact.
Okay. Wow. I think we should be retroactive in responses on the earlier ones.
We are actually revamping our website. So we're going to clean things up. And so we'll make sure that that's always the case.
I know we had responses to everybody's comments, and I just wonder if you have a response to.
I thank you for that. I agree with you, and I think that I can actively work more to push. So the global hubs, I made sure that, and Charlie did, and I did, made sure that CAP was involved. But I do actually respond. I have conversations with the provost, pushing, giving our feedback. So I do those things personally. And the UFC has also done that as a committee. So I can say that, and we can continue to do that. But in terms of more, maybe there are strategies that you have that we can think about together. I'm totally open to that, but I have been-
That's where alliances come in.
Yeah, so definitely I've been pushing. The UFC has been pushing. As we think of it, we've been transparent in what those conversations have been. But if you have strategies that you think, alliances, for example, that we'll think of how to execute those things.
That's great. AAB chapter is ready to do it. We're there for governance.
Okay. All right. And of course, I've invited myself to the AAUP. I am happy to go anytime. So.
Well, you know, AUP is open to all faculty members to join. So if anybody would like to join the AUP.
I meant as a dean of faculty, not as a committee member or a member, sorry, but I'm happy to come.
Yeah. If anybody's ever interested in learning more about it, all faculty and all academic professionals and graduate students are eligible to be members. So it's easy to join.
Thank you all, and have a good evening and enjoy this beautiful weather.